Mike Absher is joining us this morning. It's really good to be able to have the mayor of Marion. He's the conclusion of our week-long conversation with mayors like Will Stevens, Guy Alonji, and Steve Fortini. Mike Absher, it's good to have you in.
Good morning, Tom. How are you?
Is this the first time you've been in the studios?
It is not.
Oh, okay, actually. Good. Yeah, I thought you might have been here in your previous incarnation.
Well, that's a great way to put that.
Well, you know, and because that incarnation is, you have, and you've made a real point of this, I'm turning away from my other job. I'm focusing on mayor of Marion. You've had to make a transition. And I don't think it's always easy for somebody to come from the private sector, especially with the responsibilities you had for the number of employees, and then go into the public arena that sometimes that transition is jolting.
I think that's a accurate way of putting it. I don't know that it's quite been as jolting as what you might think, but there's been some times of that, I suppose. But most of it still has to do, revolves around dealing with people. I mean, at the end of the day, that's what both of my previous job and this job is still entails. So
I've always wondered, because Mayor Butler being in that position so long, because you've seen this happen in the private industry, somebody's there so long that you start, the boundaries of their job start reaching out well beyond maybe where people would take it for granted, that there are so many things a person does, and then when you take them out, you go, wow, didn't realize that. And this comes back to that people aspect of building relationships. Mm-hmm. Again, he had relationships with a lot of people, so you came in with what was probably one of the largest mayoral voids ever created because of the time spent in office.
Yes, and you know, I have spent a great deal of time. I guess I've been in office 2 months now, as of Saturday, and a lot of the time of that 2 months has just been reaching out to other people. You mentioned some of the other mayors that have been on this week, and I've had the really a great opportunity in getting to know some of those gentlemen, and in a, I hope, a personal way. We all see the same kind of challenges for our communities, and for example, and I'm pleased to tell you have vowed interpersonally to work together for the betterment of all of our towns. And I think that's important. One of the things that I've been clear to point out in context of that is that what's good for Carterville is good for Marion. What's good for Heron is good for Marion, and vice versa. And I think in that exact example, Steve and the mayor of Carterville agree absolutely with that, or at least I think they do. And so we have vowed to work together in that regard as well.
And there are, you know, regionality is actually kind of new for many aspects in Southern Illinois. Once before, it was we climb over each other for an opportunity when it comes to city and city. Before we move on, are there any glaring differences when it comes to that transition that you could share with us?
I think the one tangible, glaring difference is that, you know, in private industry, of course, you've got people to deal with, and you've got your rules of engagement, so to speak, your policies. In government, though, there's a long and thick set of ordinances, which is our laws that we have to reference and go by. And that's a big glaring difference, is that I have to go back, you know, before I can make a decision or even make a suggestion. I got to say, what do our ordinances say about this? And that's one of the things that we have to improve as a town, is frankly, our ordinances are not extraordinarily well organized. I've found that to be the case as I've tried to find
older communities. I think that,
yeah, you know, we do. It's kind of a joke, I think, in lots of little towns, and it's certainly the case in ours. Is we literally have some laws on the books about spitting on sidewalks and horses and things.
Getting ready to say the same thing.
And you know, you kind of have to go through that at the same time you're looking for the relevant stuff. And so we've got a little bit of work to do to organize that. But that's the glaring difference. Is just, okay, what does our law say about this, if anything?
And I keep wondering, Mike, if someday won't come in this country. I got this idea from a science fiction novel when I was like 12, that we won't crumble over to our own weight of laws and ordinances if we don't have a way to clear out that ordinance underbrush.
Boy, that's a I would have never thought to put it that way. That's a great analogy, because it is that underbrush. It's the stuff you have to walk through that makes it a little bit difficult to find the wheat, so to speak.
Right.
And so I think that's a great analogy, and we've got to do some things to clear out some of that.
And, of course, in Springfield, they're always making more.
Yes.
So what are your opinion in the budget, the infrastructure? Most recently, ASME signing the contract or approving the contract on Friday. I don't know if signing is the right term. out of the spring session, what effects do you see on Marion?
Well, I think it seems that this legislative session, and I don't know that I'm extraordinarily well-versed on everything that was passed. At a high level, it seems like, though, that it's going to reach into nearly every community in the state. Everything from the gaming expansion that's going to affect our area, I hope in a good way. Although I think some of the gaming expansion doesn't necessarily affect all the towns in a positive way. And I'm not speaking of the Walker's Bluff initiative, but more so the video gaming that is in all of our communities. It's something I'm struggling with a little bit right now in Marion. And so that's one of the things that I think will immediately affect our communities is the expansion of that. There are a few mandates in there that maybe aren't funded like they should be or in some cases probably are unfunded, but that's nothing new either. So we'll have to deal with those as well.
Well, do you think Marion will increase? Because in this carve-out for the gas tax, which starts, coming up on Monday, are you looking at that? Because I think there's the opportunity for 3% local gas tax to go on top of that. Will Marion go along with that?
We have not addressed that or spoken about that as a council yet. So
it's wait and see. Yeah. But when it comes to redistribution taxes in Springfield, I think, some people were a little antsy about these LDF funds or whatever it is, the local distributed tax funds, LDTF. I think it is. I got that right, Mike?
I think so.
That's right.
I'm still learning all these acronyms.
I know. The acronyms are the worst, aren't they? And then you've got to figure out whether, the money that was collected in your community goes to Springfield, whether it comes back. I mean, they've already added the collection fee.
Yeah,
which seems obvious because the collectors are the people who runs the stores in Marion. They should get the collection fee, but that's me being an idealist. I wonder, are we going to see these funds returned in proper proportion to Illinois historically? And that's another thing that I watch pretty closely.
Yeah, and I don't know the answer to that. Typically, again, as an outsider watching this in the past, what usually happens is they pass a bill, a law, and then they have to come up with the administrative rules later that tell you exactly actually how the math's going to work. So we've got to wait for some of that to transpire. I think.
One of your first things as new mayor, there was a new police chief, a need for a new police chief. So David Fitz?
Fitz, uh-huh.
Right? He came from law enforcement history.
He did, a very long one. He had started, I believe, with Williamson County Sheriff's Department back in I don't have his resume in front of me.
Well, it's weird mid-80s. You mention that because the minute you said that, I'm like, I remember his name tag from some event I was at and like Fitz. So now I know exactly. I didn't recognize him in the suit whenever the promo pictures.
Yeah. So he started with Williamson County and then ultimately got hired by the Illinois State Police and spent, I guess, from early 90s or late 80s, I can't remember exactly, until 2014 when he retired as a lieutenant for the District 13. He was an administrative lieutenant, but he has a very broad tactical background in both drug enforcement and just, which is kind of a specialty in my opinion, versus general law enforcement. And, we had a number of qualified candidates, and that's the promise that I had made to my constituents, is that it would not be a political appointment, but that we would interview, find the best candidate that was available to us, and then offer that person the candidate. We felt like that was Chief Fitz.
So. Do you think in government that's something you've got to say more often, that this is a Mike Absher mantra? No, we're looking for the right person. Because political hires are something, right, in Illinois, and they always have been. But the minute you said, no, I want the right person, the reason why I'm asking that, Mike, is more and more people are upset about crime in their community. And the first thing you said about Mr. Fitz was his drug background. And I have a tendency to see a connection between all of those things. The right person, we've got to do something about drugs in our community because drugs in our community brings crime in our community.
Yes.
Did I misconstrue your
statements?
You did not.
And back to your first question, yes, I do need to maybe say that more often or more frequently. We don't really have any other big jobs like that open in the immediate future that I see. But first of all, to speak to that question, I don't know how to do it any other way, because that, I believe, was a critical and key distinguishing characteristic of the companies that I ran and now have departed from largely, is because I was very consistent and not always successful, but very consistent in just trying to find the best talent that was available to me. And I don't know how to do it any differently, Tom. That's really the only thing that you can do to make sure that you're moving forward. But to the second part of that question, yes, there is absolutely no question that crime is a key component of an economic cycle plus a socioeconomic cycle. And your only chance to get out of that is to interrupt it. And so his Chief Fitz's background in just doing exactly that, specifically in the Southern Illinois Enforcement Group, of which he was the commander, really appealed to us as a key distinguishing characteristic of somebody that could interrupt that cycle in Marion.
Because you are seeing people arrested in Marion, and the next arrest is in Harrisburg, and then they get arrested in Marion again.
No doubt.
There's something going on. Exactly. I really can't divine it. There's always a network. But I do see law enforcement saying, oh, no, well, these guys are not strangers to us, and they've already been arrested in Harrisburg, and now they are doing the same thing, or somebody's arrested in Harrisburg, and they're from Marion. So when you see these go on, and it's an ongoing item, and I think people are becoming increasingly frustrated with it. People can say it's just about meth. I don't know. It seems like there's more, and I don't have any evidence to base that besides my feeling.
Well, I don't either. I think, unfortunately, meth is actually making a little bit of a comeback. It had been really tamped down, my impression.
In Williamson County?
Yeah. I think so. And to some extent, and this had to do with a lot of the laws that came about several years ago when they're tracking some of the core ingredients
right.
and processes that have to go into making that particular drug. But I think it's made a little bit of a comeback. And here's the thing. You know, people that are intent on doing crime or making drugs will find a way to they'll find a way to do it. I mean, and so you've got that really speaks back to the competency set or the skill set of the people that you hire that are investigating and trying to interrupt these cycles is because they have to stay just as trained and up on the methods and the processes
and the cooking processes.
That's right. Because you've got to recognize you've got to figure out how to detect it so that you can stop it. And
right.
so that's
I'm talking to a Carbondale police officer right in the center of the street, football games. Hey, what's up? You know, the traffic goes out. He says, man, we've been really having a problem with dabs. And I'm going, pardon me? What's dabs? He says, the distilling process for THC, kind of distilling it down into a waxy or a glue-like substance, they smoke. And he says, apparently the process, pretty dangerous chemicals. And I'm like, didn't even know. There's always something else coming down the pipe.
That's right.
You know, it's interesting because one of the quotes that I thought was interesting because it involves perspective. And you said, look, we've got to start looking at our community with visitor's glasses. And it's interesting because, you know, if you make a concerted effort, it doesn't matter how long you've lived in a town, you can do it if you'll just say, what if I was a stranger? I do the same thing in Carbondale. And you've asked some people to do the same thing in Marion. And it's interesting because you say, I want to look at my town with visitor's glasses. How does somebody from somewhere else look at my community? And then you have a man who literally, like Chris Soller says, he sees the town through his visitor's glasses. And what's he do? I'll clean the square for free power wash.
Yeah, that's a great example of it, too. Again, just like how crime fits in, this piece fits into an overall economic development cycle, if you will, is that if we have the opportunity, when we have the opportunity to get a new employer or even just a single new resident into town, we've got to recognize that they're going to be looking for certain things for their employees or certainly for themselves, and they absolutely, by definition, will have their visitor glasses on because that's who they are at that point. So my encouragement to my town, all the people that live in our town, is to take a breath and drive through our town, even better off, walk through our town. It's a different, I can assure you, it's a different view at 20 miles an hour in a car. It's certainly a different view
that
at
works.
2 miles an hour.
That works. Take your dog, go for a walk, yeah. See if you trip over the sidewalks.
Right.
Are the trees off the way? Right. This works.
It does. And I became acutely aware of this, frankly, during the campaign as I was walking all these streets. And, you know, these are streets that you think you're familiar with because
yep.
they've been around. And I, you know, I'd say, well, my best friend right here grew up on Virginia Street, for example, or whatever. But it might have been 40 years since I've actually been to that house or something like that. So as you're walking through different neighborhoods and you see some sidewalks here or there that are little out of kilter or have been pushed up by a tree root, and then you see some other bigger problems and maybe some broken windows and some things that need to be addressed. And
yep.
So it is just, you really have to take, like you said, a concerted effort. You have to take your time and be looking for it. And if you can do that, you will see how others are seeing it for the very first time.
Right. My walk, right? Cars parked across sidewalks, so you couldn't walk. You had to walk in the street to get around them. People in wheelchairs that couldn't take sidewalks. I'm not talking about Marion. Couldn't use sidewalks because of the tree roots you were talking about. So they're going down the road in their wheelchairs. Dogs that are threatening
dangerous.
And biting and being, a public safety issue. And it's weird. When you go 5 miles an hour, the world changes.
Yes, it does.
It really does. And you get to talk to people, and their guards are down and your guards are down, and they're more likely to just blah what they're thinking, too.
Yeah,
it's worth it to walk around the block, especially do it for sunrise and wave. It works.
Yes, it is. And, as I've talked a lot about this during the campaign, and so the challenge is how to organize the effort as a city, because municipalities aren't necessarily built to do some of the things that I want to do. In other words, yes, we have a street department, water department, sewer department, fire department, police department, and all the things that keep the basic services going. And that's our core responsibility as a town. But we've come up with a construct, if you will, a framework called Square Up, which is a volunteer-fueled but city-assisted way that we can organize a street-by-street, literally one street at a time, one block at a time, improvement effort. And it would go along the same kind of things that we've already talked about, but it goes a little bit beyond that. So as I've talked about improving our neighborhoods and our streets, and especially in the older, more established parts of town, now that I'm elected, I've had a number of individuals and service groups and church groups come to me and offer their hands and feet. We can do this. Tell us what you need. And now the onus is back on me or the city to create some kind of a structure in which we could do that. And so that we've got this concept or prototype, if you will, called Square Up, that basically marries hands and feet, resources, meaning some funding of it, and then the city to help coordinate it. And so an example with this would be is identify a street, a specific street, meet with the neighborhood, decide what's important to them, where they think their challenges are. And it could be something from ditches needing to be re-cleaned out. It could be sidewalks that need, maybe not the whole
right.
sidewalk needs to be replaced, but maybe a panel of it needs to be replaced so that it's
bushes
usable.
That stand in the way so somebody can take a safe right-hand turn.
That's right. It's
amazing
exactly.
what you learn out
Fences
there.
Fences that need to be straightened or painted, mailboxes that need to be straightened. Maybe a soffit needs to be painted here and there. Maybe trees need to be trimmed. Maybe the city needs to come along and bring one of those roll-off dumpsters so that the neighborhood can throw some of their
right.
yard stuff in there that everybody always intends to, just doesn't get to sometimes.
So what I hear is Mike Abshire knows how to eat an elephant.
One bite at a time. That's,
one
that's
bite at a
absolutely
time.
Absolutely, for sure.
And then you've got to have a plan where you're going to take a bite out first.
Yes, sir.
And then say, look, everybody come over for dinner. We've got plenty. And then that, I think that public input is probably one of the things, as opposed to somebody looking out the window going, what are you guys doing? What are you guys doing in my neighborhood? Incorporating them.
Oh, it's I mean, first of all, who is it? It shouldn't be up to me or anyone else to determine what a specific neighborhood needs or wants. That should be up to the neighbors. That should be up to the people that live in that neighborhood.
Right.
They're the ones that have lived there and they see the issues.
And you know what else, Mike, is weird? And this is weird how I think putting myself in my shoes and I'm listening to the mayor. I'm pretending I'm living Marion. I'm saying, yeah, it is my choice. It is my choice. You know how it's my choice? Because of the property taxes I pay. Because of how much I pay. This is mine. And if you guys want to make some changes, that's fine, but I'm paying the bills. And I know that sounds kind of selfish and off-putting, but I think it's what people think.
Well, it is, but more importantly, maybe just as importantly, is that they just simply should have a say in what happens on their street. And if they may see something completely
home.
Different. They
yeah.
may not think that the street needs to be repaved. They may need to, they may think that, well, hey, there's a vacant lot that the city owns here between this house and that house. Instead of you guys just mowing it, which is an expense to the city. Why don't we turn it? Why don't we put a bird bath or something on it so that it becomes a shareable, usable space again for the whole neighborhood? Those are not necessarily things that the city would see, but they might see for their neighborhood.
We're almost out of time, and I hate this because I got a lot of other stuff I want to talk about. So I'm going to have to cut all that out and hit right to it. How do you define success for Mike Abscher as mayor in relationship to the community of Marion? We talked about the eating the elephant, cleaning it up. But you've got a business community that's counting on you, like, 25%? The town grows by 25 or 30 or 50%, something like this, when business workers come into town to work at your area businesses. You're at this business, you call it oasis of opportunity that you want to create. How will you know when you're being successful?
Well, I think we'll know that we're being successful if, for one, we stay on the same trajectory and that obviously things don't slide backwards from a business standpoint. I think we'll be able to measure that by the crime rates that we've talked about already and by our success in mitigating some of those problems as they exist. I think you'll be able to see it with your own two eyes as we start improving neighborhood by neighborhood. It's going to look different. It's going to take a long time. It's going to take a lot of heavy lifting, but I think you'll notice those things very common sense wise. You're going to see it. You're going to hear it.
You'll notice when you walk around the block.
But as far as, you know, the overall effort and my strategy is just to chip at it every hour, every minute of every day that I'm there, one piece at a time. Like you said, we just have to eat the elephant one bite at a time.
You like it, the job?
I love the job, actually. I find it fascinating. It's a very complex job. There's no question about that part. But I do love it. I really, really
Your
do.
Previous job prepared you for this.
It did.
And you now that you're there, you really, it was academic before.
Yes.
Now you know.
Yeah. And it all just goes right back to being able to have a one-on-one conversation with somebody about whether that's the problem that they're facing or something that they want improved, or if it's the other way around. If I'm asking them to help do something to improve town, it's still just a one-on-one conversation with people.
It's a relationship.
It's a relationship.